Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hi Petra.
Teresa, hello.
I was thinking about, we're just started the fourth quarter of the year, and I always love to like use the fourth quarter to reflect on how the year went. And I think I have your cards somewhere on my desk here that are your amazing coaching reflection questions.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you had a reflection question for us to discuss in this episode.
Ooh. Top of mind right now is, it's not one question. So I shared a concept and then we talk about it, I think. So a good reflection right now, I think, is something like, what do you want to be known for? Or what is your product legacy? Or it could be community legacy. Or what is your footprint that you're currently leaving in your organization, in your company, on the product that you're actually building? So I think that is a really good question to pause and to think about that. What is the stuff that you're leaving behind? What are the things that people will still talk about once you left the company for 2 years or something like that? I really love that question right now as a framing question for reflection.
Okay, can we distinguish two different things? Because
please.
This might surprise you, but I don't love the word legacy.
Oh. Because of tech legacy and the negative connotation, or?
Because to me, it screams like ego and I want to be remembered forever. And after I die, my legacy will be this. And I have $1 billion and I'm going to donate it to a foundation so my name lives on forever. Like, for me, there's a lot of yuck in that term.
Okay, but so then it's maybe footprint,
but
impression?
I think what you described.
Handwriting?
Yeah, like yeah. You said, what do I want to be remembered at my company 2 years later? This isn't like, what's your life legacy? This is, I think maybe you're really
asking. No, it's not. It's definitely not life legacy.
Okay, good.
But it's more like, I had so many. Yeah,
like,
I had so many fun conversations after I left Xing some years ago when people that joined long after I was gone were having this kind of, you were the one creating all the Confluence pages. And I'm like, oh, this is an interesting legacy. I was the one creating all the Confluence pages. And then there were other things like, you were actually the one who brought the company profile product to life, or you were the one who did the rewrite of this one particular part of the platform that was super hard. So these kind of things. Yeah. And it's hard to predict, actually, because I didn't see the Confluence one coming, I have to admit. But all the other ones were you the one starting this community thing or things like that.
What maybe you're getting at is like, what are the elements of your craft that you really want to care about and hone and be remembered for?
Yeah, that's a good framing. I love that. Okay. Yeah, that's better than using the term legacy, right?
Because I love that, right? Like we all have things we want to get good at just for like, and I actually, like, this is also partly tied up in my legacy yuck stuff. Like, I think this is a really powerful question when it's intrinsic. Like, what do I care about in my craft? What am I motivated to get good at? I think it starts to get a little bit yucky when it's extrinsic. Like, what's going to make me the most money? Or what does my boss care about most? Or what's going to get me promoted? And I'm not suggesting, like, wanting to get promoted or wanting to make money or wanting to, like, be recognized is bad things. But I think from a like thinking about excellence and honing your craft, when it's intrinsic, it's rewarding. And when it's extrinsic, it sometimes falls into this like rat race ambition. Like, again,
yeah,
I don't think
that's definitely not what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's more like, for example, today a friend of mine is currently looking for a job and she told me about the company she applied for. And one of them, I was like, I know the CPO there. So why haven't you seen that on LinkedIn? So I'm super happy to do an introduction or something like that to bump you on top of his pile or just like make sure that he pulls the right application. And in the moment I wrote this, I just dropped him a note to say like, hey, by the way, a friend of mine applied. She's amazing. And then all the things that I listed there, I think these are the things that we are looking for. So what would others say about you from seeing your work and what you do? This is the really, what do you want to be known for part of the question that I was sharing in the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's basically, that's the background of my computer every day. So that there is this question of what do you want to be known for, Petra? Mm. And that's it really helps me to think about this, is actually that. And if your company has to let go of people, then maybe you want to be the one known for doing it in the most polite and best way possible, even if it still sucked. So I think that could be an okay goal.
Do you have one? Do you have an answer to that question you can share?
Yeah, to me, it's always, no, I don't have a precise one. It changes sometimes, and I have it on my backdrop because I think I have to think about it every day when I do the work I do. But it is always connected to people and to sharing as much knowledge as possible in digestible ways. So it's always kind of, okay, am I helpful by any means to somebody today? So this is always this kind of, was I of service? And it can be paid service, and it can be just like writing an intro to a random CPO because a friend is looking for a job. I think all of that is fine with me as long as I contributed in a helpful way to the really, really broad product community. So this is kind of my theme to some extent. And I do this in 1 million ways. But this is basically the red thread going through all the things that I'm doing. And it always is, it's for me, it's the headline is so much product work. I really love product work. And I love every aspect of it. I love that I see so many industries and products and all the complexity, and I love the people business of it. And so all of it is kind of, I fell in love with all the aspects of product management. So it has to do with these two things, product and people.
Yeah, I think if I think about it, like for me personally, we've been talking about like impact and craft and legacy. And I think, so like impact and craft and what you want to be known for. Let's just think about it that way. I think I actually have three different answers. So maybe these are not all the same thing. So like impact, if I think about impact, I like the one thing I have a lot of pride about is that so many product teams now talk to a customer every week. Like if that's all the impact I have in my entire career, I literally could die happy. Like that's a very cool thing
that's
to be like.
That's a good legacy too.
Like, oh, footprint. People do this more, right?
Yeah.
That to me, that's like an impact thing. From a craft thing, I think the thing for me that like I really care about, that I really focus on getting good at, that I put like an inordinate amount of time into is how to bring simplicity, like how to simplify complex things. So like, and I do a lot of this with writing. So like for me, I focus on writing as a craft. And like, if something is confusing, it's not going to get shipped. Like I have to keep iterating on it until it's simple and easy to understand.
That's for me, it's the illustrations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine for you because you do a great job on those illustrations.
Yeah.
And, but that's not like, I don't know that I want to be remembered for my writing. That's more of like a craft that I find tool. Intrinsically rewarding. What I would want to be known for, maybe that's a little closer to that impact. Like I'm pretty happy to be known for the person who says you should interview a customer every week. But I don't, that's like such a crunchy tactical thing. Like, I don't know if I have a broader, I think I'm not motivated by what I'm known for. I think that's why I'm trying to distinguish impact and craft.
Yeah. Do I worry about what I'm known for? Not so much either. But it feels better to be known for some things where it's not so nice if people kind of connect my name or my personality with stuff that I don't want to be known for, definitely.
Yeah.
So that's maybe another thing that sometimes like, oh, this feels off, so I should do more of the other thing.
Okay. Like you're raising a very pragmatic element of this. Like I don't want to be known as a delivery coach because I don't want to coach people on delivery.
Yeah. Right?
So there's like this pragmatic piece of like your personal brand and what do you want people to associate with your personal brand? And this could apply to a job. It doesn't have to apply to like just consultants, but it, right? Just like when you go to your next job, what are you going to talk about in your previous job?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the question is, how was it to work with Petra, for example?
Yeah.
And even for every, it applies for everybody that is currently listening. If a colleague of yours gets interviewed and be asked to be your testimonial or something like that, when they do the background check. So what would they say about you? And is that kind of in line? I think it's not more about how do I make sure that they only say the nice things. But the question is what they will be saying in line with the essence of what you are?
This is starting to get a little bit at values.
Yeah.
Right? So like
personal values.
What do you personally value? And then are you living that so other people
see it? Yeah. And experience the values to an extent that it's your interface. So what's your interface?
What's your...
Coming back to that one. Speaking what, in our tech terms.
See, now I want to do a really fun activity of like, what's your interface? You know, some
design
people
design your interface, people.
You know, some people write documents of like how to work with me. Like,
yeah.
I love those
manual
exercises.
Manual of me.
Yeah. I mean, I love those exercises kind of like if they're all focused on you and what works for you and not focused on your teammates and what works for them. Like an interface involves two people interacting, two things interacting.
Yeah.
But I love this idea of like thinking about how you present in the world and then what do people take away from that?
Yeah. And if that, because I see so many people where this is not at all in line with how they show up. So sometimes I have these rare settings where I coach the leadership team, so team leads, and then the VP director. I try to avoid these settings because it's always kind of weird to coach two different hierarchical layers. Anyways, but sometimes I end up in this situation. And then it's oftentimes really irritating me how people talk about their boss and how the boss presents in the coaching sessions, because I'm sometimes like it's not the same person. Somehow these people need to manage up, talk to their boss more, the boss needs to ask for feedback more, the boss's perception of how they lead and how they are and what they stand for and what they're known for is so off to what the people are talking about. So, and therefore I think it's a great reflection question for your Q4 reflection is really this kind of, is what people see in line with what I really want to represent, what my essence actually is, and is that the stuff that I want to be known for? I cannot promise it takes you somewhere, but still it is a good reflection question to at least start and getting you thinking.
You know, this last piece you brought up, I think is a really important one, which is where I think there's a lot of power in like 360 type feedback and some of these assessments where you get feedback from peers because we're not always aware that we're not presenting in the way that we expect. And I had a personal experience with this actually at my most recent full-time job. I was a VP of product. I was on an executive team. There was our CEO, a VP of sales, and a VP of technology. The VP of technology and I were best buds. Like we were super close. We're still close to this day. And as part of my master's, I had to do this communication feedback and I had to get feedback from my peers. And the questions were like along the lines of like, does this person communicate in a way that meets your needs? And the VP of technology like rated me the highest on every dimension. And the CEO and the VP of sales rated me the lowest on every dimension. And it was sort of soul crushing. I was like, whoa, really? Like I thought the CEO I kind of understood because we didn't have a very great relationship. And I wasn't at the company for very long as a result of that. But I actually thought the VP of sales and I had a good relationship. And I think we did. But that doesn't mean I was meeting his communication needs. Right. And so like seeing that gap, like we went to lunch regularly. We were friendly with each other. Like we got along, but it was clear. And some of this is the standard product sales problem of like, I need to know what's coming so I can tell this customer it's coming on this date. And I know, cause like we had a conversation about the feedback. I was like, whoa, this really surprised me. So some of it was like the classic product sales problem, but some of it was I could have been doing way more to bring him along. And that was like a really hard lesson for me. And that was like in my last full-time job. That wasn't early in my career. Like I still sucked at this in my last full-time job.
Yeah, and it gets harder and harder the higher you climb the career ladder, so to say, because it's harder to get feedback from your people. I actually wrote, maybe we need to add that to the show notes, I wrote a guide on how to ask for feedback in a leadership position. Because I know it is really hard to get good, because if the question would have been framed differently in your survey, maybe you would not have gotten the insight, right?
Yeah.
So questions really matter. Again, survey design, it's a thing, people. But that's the 300 degree feedback, definitely super helpful if you do these things. Asking, proactively asking for feedback, another important and amazing thing if you want to learn more about where you could improve and see some of your shortcomings, white spots, whatever you call it.
This was awesome. It's funny. We started and I was like, huh, the more I hear you say legacy, the more I'm like, ugh. And then we kind of wandered a little bit through like craft and impact and what you're known for and personal brand and then we got into
It's the beauty of this podcast, right? So we just bring out random questions and explore them together.
I kind of loved it. This might have been one of our messiest episodes, but hopefully it was fun
People
to listen to.
People were able to follow, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Petra.
Thank you, Teresa.